Witam w pierwszym odcinku cyklu Wywiady Nieprzepisane. Nazywam się Łukasz Jachowicz, a moim rozmówcą jest...
My name is Martin Michelmeier, and I'm the current Debian project leader. I've been in the Debian project for a number of years. I've been doing various tasks. I've been involved in the new maintainer process, in the Debian installer. I'm also doing quite a bit of work on quality assurance, making sure that Debian is very good and stable. And I'm doing a PhD at Cambridge University about quality management in free software projects. So I'm basically doing research about ways of improving quality in open source projects.
Już wiemy, że moim rozmówcą jest lider projektu Debian. Może zapytajmy go, czym on się właściwie zajmuje.
Very broadly speaking, the project leader has two different roles. There are the external roles, which basically means representing Debian, going to conferences, talking to companies, interacting with other organizations, and building good relationships with them. And then there are the internal roles, which are motivating people, coordinating, managing people in the project, which I think is something which has been neglected over the last few years. So I'm interested in doing that. But I think both functions are really important and need to be done.
Jednym z działań Martina jest rozmawianie z przedstawicielami różnych korporacji. Zastanawiam się, w jaki sposób te korporacje postrzegają Debiana, czy traktują go jako projekt zabawkę, czy raczej jako poważne przedsięwzięcie.
It's very hard to give one specific answer to that question, because there are many companies and usually they see Debian in a very different way. And I really talk to many different companies. So there are some which have a very good opinion of Debian. Like HP is one of the main sponsors of Debian. We have many hardware from them. And there are obviously also people who don't take Debian seriously, but I think most of the companies I talk to are interested in Debian and are trying to support the project. It's even if sometimes I talk to very big companies like IBM, where IBM itself doesn't have a clear opinion about their point of view of Debian, so they don't support it. But I know many people in IBM who use Debian. For example, many of the PowerPC people in IBM use Debian, so they are one of my contacts. So I'm really talking to a number of different companies about various different things. It can be supporting hardware, doing commercial support, things like that.
Debian jest znany ze swojej stabilności. Znany jest też z tego, że pakiety w nim zawarte zwykle są stare. Z tego powodu stają się raczej bazą dla nowych dystrybucji niż dystrybucją używaną przez typowego użytkownika. Dlaczego nowe wydania Debiana pojawiają się co rok czy co dwa zamiast co 6 miesięcy, jak to się dzieje w przypadku niektórych dystrybucji komercyjnych?
Again, that's very complicated question, so I just want to address one point, is that I think there are various reasons for using Debian as a base for other distributions. It's not just because our stable release is out of date. I think one of the main reasons for using Debian as a base for another system is actually because we have a very good technical system and because of the open nature of the project. So if you customize Debian, you actually have a very high chance of getting your changes back into the system and you can work with the project very easily. I think that's one of the reasons. But to answer the real question here, which is about the release cycle of Debian, why is it so slow? And I think that it is much slower than we would actually like it to be. And so we don't intentionally say we only make release every two or three years. That's just something which happens because we actually can't get the release done. And that's partly because Debian is a very big system. But I think we really need to fix that. I think that's one of the main problem Debian has at the moment, is that we can't get stable releases out. And I think one reason for that is that the developers of the system are actually not using the stable version. They're using unstable, which is the development version. I think that's one of the main problems. But there are many changes going on at the moment related to the release. So we're moving from having just one release manager who's responsible for everything. We're moving to having a team of release people. So we now have four people working on the release. And we are moving, or they're interested in moving to something called the time-based model, where you make a release every X months. So the big question here is, what should X be? So how many releases do you make a year, or how often do you release? So should you make a release every 6 months, every 12 months, every 18 months? And here you really have to take the requirements of different users into account. So the users on servers, they don't want to upgrade the server every 2 weeks. Whereas some desktop people, they would like to see very frequent changes. So we have to take both of those requirements into account. And I think currently a 12-month release cycle is in discussion. So we would make a release every 12 months, which I think would be acceptable for server use and would be okay for desktop. And then people who really need more up-to-date software, who need cutting-edge software, they can run what we call testing, which is updated continuously from our development tree after the software has been tested. And we are currently working on having security updates for testing. So then people who really need cutting-edge software can use that.
Kolejnym zadaniem jest motywowanie ludzi do pracy nad projektem. W jaki sposób Martin motywuje ludzi do pracy nad Debianem?
I think motivation is very important, because usually many people just take that free software and open source, they just take it for granted that it's there and they use it and they never actually say thanks. They just complain if something is not working and file a bug report saying, you know, you're stupid, you broke my system. And I think it's very important to actually thank people for what they're doing. And sometimes just, you know, saying thanks, I appreciate what you're doing, that can be very motivating. But then it's also sometimes sending a developer to conference if it's appropriate for what they need. Such things can be very motivating. So there are various things which can be done.
Co z deweloperami, którzy obiecali zająć się jakimś pakietem i nie wypełniają swoich obowiązków?
Well, as part of the quality assurance effort, there are some activities regarding inactive maintainers. That means people who are responsible for a package but who don't actually maintain it. And usually those maintainers are totally inactive. So if you email them, you don't get a response. And the way you proceed in that case is that you simply take the package away after you've tried to email them for a while, and then you take it away and make it available to other people. And that's actually a fairly easy task. It's nothing which is very interesting, but it's something which needs to be done and which is relatively easy. A much bigger problem are busy people or incompetent people who are there. So if you email them, you get a response and they will say, yes, I will fix it. But then they never do it. And so you can't take the package away because they told you they would do it. And in many cases, they don't actually realize themselves that they're too busy to do it. So you might see that, you know, they haven't done it for a few months, even though they've promised it. But it's very hard for them to realize they should actually admit it to themselves and give the package away. But there are various ways of talking to people and helping them. I think that's also an important area where if someone is just busy for a few weeks, then you can offer to take care of their packages.
Ile osób pracuje nad pakietami, które zostały opuszczone przez swoich opiekunów? Ile osób pracuje nad tym, żeby te pakiety w dalszym ciągu były bezpieczne?
Well, unfortunately, not enough. So we had quite a few people working on that a few years ago, but I think most of them stopped because they didn't see why they should be maintaining a package when no one else is interested in maintaining it. And so that's one reason why we started actually removing packages. So if something is not maintained for a while, then we will remove it from the distribution, because if someone's not willing to maintain it, then probably it's not very useful. But there are a number of quality assurance people who take care of packages, but it's definitely not enough. It's only a few people.
W jaki sposób ulepszyć sposób przyjmowania nowych osób do projektu Debian, tak żeby oczekiwanie nie zajmowało kilka lat, tylko żeby można było się przyłączyć do projektu w stosunkowo krótkim czasie?
I think the reason why the new maintainer process takes so long is actually related to that problem of inactive maintainers. I think, well, we didn't sit down and say let's do it, but I think implicitly the new maintainer process went long and longer because of the problem of inactive maintainers. So the basic idea is that if you make the initial hurdle of getting into Debian very high, then the people who will stick, who will get through, they will actually stick with Debian for a long time. and those people who weren't really serious about it will be able to get rid of them. But I think there are better ways of approaching that problem. I think what we should do, we should encourage people to do work as before they become developers. And then in the new maintainer process, we should, instead of asking many theoretical questions, we should simply be able to look at what they have done over the last few months. And if it's obvious that they've done good work, then it's very easy to admit them to the project. And if they haven't done anything, we can simply tell them, well, please contribute something to the project before you become a member. So I think that would make it much faster and much better, really.
Jakie są główne problemy, z którymi spotyka się lider projektu Debian?
Well, I think one big problem is that there are quite a few people who don't really care about what the project leader says, and it's not really clear what the power really is. So, for example, when I was initially elected, one of the first things I was being told by a couple of people is, oh, you know, the project leader doesn't really make any change anyway, so I don't care. And that's not very motivating, hearing that in like the first week. It really depends on the kind of tasks I'm doing and I'm facing different challenges. But I think the most important thing the project leader does, which actually isn't very obvious at all, is just making sure that the project actually runs, that it actually works. Because there are loads of small problems, but each of them need a solution. And those are all things which happen behind the scene, and you only see them if they don't get done properly.
Czy są jakieś rady, których mógłbyś udzielić liderom projektów wolnego oprogramowania?
That's a very broad question. I think a good advice is to listen to other people, and that's one of my main activities is actually keeping the big picture into account. Debian is a very large project, 1,000 people, 10,000 packages, and there are usually people doing something like separate people independently doing something, and if they would know about each other's work, then they would be able to work together very well. And so one of my tasks is to actually keep track of what's going on. So I'm following loads of mailing lists to keep up with what's going on. And I've met quite a few people in person, and I think that also helps because I know what kind, like how they are and what they're good at. So that allows me to coordinate between people. So if I would have to give any advice, would be to, I mean, obviously you need to lead, but you also need to know when to listen and to follow other people's advice. So you really need to listen to other people and see what they need, how you can help them complete their task. Like, how can you help them make their work and their life easier?
Dziękuję Martinowi za poświęcony nam czas i zapraszam Was wszystkich na kolejny wywiad, który postaramy się opublikować już wkrótce.